Welcome to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins. It's the first Sunday in June. The days are long and the nights are warm. And we're heading right into folk festival season here in Wisconsin and around the country. Jeff Durkee is here to give you a preview of some of the festivals and artists you can experience this season. But first, I have two guests who have come quite a long distance to share their talent with you this evening. Laura Berlage lives on her family's homestead farm situated between Hayward and Ashland. She's a performer and songwriter who blends an interest in early music ballads with strong musicianship and a dash of theater and farming. We'll see how that all comes together in just a moment. And also here in the studio is Tom Drawn. That's D-R-A-U-G-H-O-N. Tom is the owner of and executive producer for Heartistry Music. I'll have to spell that one too, H-E-A-R-T-I-S-T-R-Y. And that's a record label that's devoted to musicians of the Lake Superior region. Tom plays guitar and violin and banjo, piano, and has performed with some pretty heavy-hitting folk musicians and on over 25 recordings. Well, welcome, Tom and Laura.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we sure appreciate it. And we're going to get right into the music. What would you like to start with?
Well, we're going to start with a tune that is quickly becoming one of the favorites off my new album, Bardic Memories, and it's called Trees They Grow High. Many is the time my true love I've seen. Many's an hour I've watched him all alone, his young body's daily growing. Oh, father, dear father, you've done me great wrong. You've married me to a boy who is too young. I am twice 12 and he is but 14. His young body's daily growing.
Oh, daughter, dear daughter, I've done you no wrong. I've married you to a brave lord's son. He will be a man to you when I am dead and gone. He's young, but he's daily growing.
Father, dear father, if you see fit, we'll send my love to college for 1 year yet. Tie blue ribbons all around his head to let the ladies know that he's married.
Young bodies daily growing.
At the age of 14, he was a married man. Age of 15, the father of a son. Age of 16, on his grave the grass was green.
Cruel death had put an end to his growing. Or his son while he's growing.
Trees They Grow High. Our artists are Laura Berlage and Tom Drawn. Tom with some really wonderful virtuosic guitar playing.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a fun song to sing. And or a fun song to play. And we picked it up from one of my favorite guitar players, John Renborn. Actually, and
is he from Pentangle? No.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. And that's a traditional British tune from many years ago, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, of medieval origin. And actually, it was a CD of John Renborn's that Tom gave me back in the early 2000s. He said, well, you should check, you know, John Renborn and Jackie McShee out and see how you like it. And I was just blown away. It was
this visceral connection with this ancient material in a very modern sense. Mm-hmm. And it was like time sparked between the ages, and I really fell in love with the genre through that.
They Pentangle has done some really, I mean, they really have atmospheric music from medieval and Renaissance origins, but they use synthesizers and they use drums and they put it into a modern context.
Exactly.
And Laura, you've done some original work and you're also interpreting some of these earlier tunes. Do you feel like you're bringing it into a modern context?
Right. I feel that the work of the art that I'm doing is really to collapse time. Because when you look at the ballad tradition in the greater context, you're really looking at a folk tradition. And the exciting thing for me, working in a folk tradition today, as an agrarian, as someone who lives on a farm, is it, for me, it feels that there is a basic grit to life. And a lot, we're still dealing with a lot of the same issues.
Yes.
in different contexts.
They keep coming back again and again.
Yes. So, and you can really see it and really feel it in this material, whereas language works at the cognitive level, music's really working at the gut level. And I find that there's a really creative as well as a very visceral connection with this type of material. And interpreting it through my aesthetic lens, making it interesting for the contemporary listener, writing new music in the vein, it's a lot of seeping and steeping in these ancient traditions. Tom, how did you get started with this?
Oh my gosh. I actually wanted to be one of the Beatles. First. And I was a 6-year-old with a ukulele, and then it was all downhill from there. And I played guitars, and I just strummed and sang, you know, popular songs for a long time. And then, fortunately, when I was in high school, I had 2 older brothers who were both in college, and there was always cool music floating around at colleges, and they brought that back. One of my brothers brought, for instance, a Leo Kottke record home and said, "Bet you can't do that."
And here you are doing just that.
Here I am. Yeah, he's the same one that brought a John Renborn record, first The Lady and the Unicorn, and my jaw just dropped, and I went, "How is he doing that?" And then another thing that I heard was on the opposite end of the spectrum, almost as far as folk music goes, American traditional music, bluegrass style stuff, Doc Watson, and another jaw-dropping moment. And I just decided I had to learn to do all of that stuff, and so I've been trying to play like that ever since.
Well, and you work with a lot of musicians as well, in different veins and different kind of subgenres, I guess I would say, of folk.
Yeah, as far as I've probably played at one point in my life everything except heavy metal, rap, and disco. But this is what I really loved the most, is what we're doing right now. And so.
And what are you going to do next?
Oh, yeah. What is the next one?
Well, you wanted to do the Doc Watson.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Georgie.
Sure, yeah. This is... I was the only kid in my high school who was ordering Doc Watson records when Elton John was on the radio. Everybody thought I was weird, and they were probably right. But
in a good way.
So, it's called Georgie. And it's actually a child ballad. It's child number 209. And
child being a collector of ballads, right, from Scotland and England.
Yes, English and Scottish popular ballads. And they were collected by more than one person, but everybody uses his numbers on them and stuff. So, and it was called Geordie, and Geordie is actually a name for anybody that lives in Northumberland, but it's also could have been, I think it was George Gordon, who was the 4th Earl of Huntly, who got in trouble and, you know, was hanged, or almost thereabouts. The ballad varies, you know, and sometimes he gets saved and sometimes he doesn't. In this one, sorry, he doesn't. But so this is that version of Georgie as it became when it got to the Southern Appalachians. So.
As I walked over London Bridge one misty morning early, I heard some fair young maiden say, "Lord, spare me the life of Georgie. Go saddle me up my milk-white steed and bridle him so gaily. Then I'll ride away to the King's High Court and plead for the life of Georgie." She rode all day and she rode all night till she was wet and weary. Then combing back her long yellow hair, she pled for the life of Georgie. She pulled out a purse all filled with gold, just like you've never seen many. And she said, young lawyers, fee yourselves and plead for the life of Georgie. But Georgie rode up and he pled for himself, says, I never murdered any, but I stole 16 of the king's best steeds and sold them in Rummany. Then the oldest lawyer at the bar says, George, I'm sorry for you, but your own confession condemns you to die. May the Lord have mercy upon you. As Georgia was a-walking through the streets, he bid farewell to many. Then he bid farewell to his own true love, which grieved him worse than any. And if I was over on Yander's hill, where kisses I've had a-plenty, with my sword and my pistol by my side, I'd fight for the life of Georgie. Georgia was hanged with a golden cord, just like you've never seen many. For he was a member of the royal race and loved by a virtuous lady.
Georgie, performed by Tom Drawn. And we also heard Laura Berlage with a little bit of singing and mostly playing the baron in the background there. Very nice light touch to that.
Thank you.
Well, Laura, in our last discussion before that song, you talked about this music through your aesthetic lens, and you sounded a little bit like a scholar, and I wonder, are you studying this seriously?
Yes, I'm actually just about to complete my Master's of Fine Arts in Interdisciplinary Arts through Goddard College, which is a low residency program based in Plainfield, Vermont. Very exciting at this point, because I'm just finishing up my portfolio work. And I wanted to share just a quick quote that, a couple quick quotes, one that really pertains to a story like Georgie. And right out of my portfolio, this one is by Gwendolyn Morgan. I don't know if you know her. She wrote Medieval Balladry and the Courtly Tradition. Very interesting look at balladry. She says, the very fact that wit almost inevitably overcomes force, education, and privilege of rank suggests that the behavioral code of the peasant is held to be superior to that of the ruling class.
Mm.
So, for instance, often I end up deconstructing these ballads to find the meat that's in them. We were talking about this in the ride on the way up with Tom. And when you look at a story like Georgie from the perspective of the folk culture of the time, yes, we're talking about someone with a lot of power, but all the money and the influential girlfriend and all those lawyers, it's still the basic rule is if you screw up with the law, it's going to
catch you. Steal the king's animals.
Yep.
you hang for it.
Exactly. So, which is very interesting. And I find that my scholastic practice is also balanced by my agrarian lifestyle. I live on an old homestead farm in northern Wisconsin that was a cutover farm. So the original homesteading family came up and pulled stumps.
Oh, boy.
And the whole project, and we've been restoring it since 2000 when my family moved up there. And what that lifestyle has really given me a real grounding in what it means to be a person who lives on the land and works with it all the time. And I feel a very strong connection with the people who worked in the ballad tradition, because that was their lifestyle too. And there's a song in particular that's on the new CD. It's called Through Bushes and Through Briars. And between my undergraduate work and my graduate work, I had the very amazing opportunity to go to England and Wales. Study travel.
You must have felt like you were at home.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Skip the audio tours, man. Just go and be in the space. And this song really reminds me of the winding country lanes with the hedges and the stone walls and the sheep on the slate shale on the hillsides. which also reminds me of my own farm, because we have sheep and all the other animals too. So I wanted to share that song.
On your CD, you do this a cappella. Are you going to do that this way for us right now?
Yes.
Okay, this is Laura Berlage, Through Bushes and Through Briars.
Through bushes and through briars, I lately made my way. Oh, for to hear the small birds sing, and the lambs to skip and to play. All for to hear the small birds sing, and the lambs to skip and to play. I overheard a female, her voice it rang so clear, saying, long time have I been waiting for the coming of my dear. Long time have I been waiting for the coming of my dear. Sometimes I am uneasy and restless in my mind. Sometimes I think I'll go to my love and tell to him my mind. But if I should go to my love, he would say nay. If I showed to him my boldness, he'd never love me again. If I showed to him my boldness, he'd never love me again. Through bushes and through briars, I lately made my way. Oh, for to hear the small birds sing, and the lambs to skip and to play. Oh, for to hear the small birds sing, and the lambs to skip and to play.
Through bushes and through briars, another early traditional folk song. That's our guest, Laura Berlage, singing a cappella. And Laura, you mentioned your CD. Let's mention it right now. The title of it is Bardic Memories, B-A-R-D-I-C. Certainly appropriate for the kind of music that you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a wonderful CD, kind of a mix of traditional music, and you've done some arranging of traditional music, and then a couple of originals as well, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. And speaking of arranging, there's one song on there that we'll do next, and I'm going to contextualize it a bit. It's called Lady Isabel and the False Knight.
The False Knight.
The False Knight. Sometimes also called The Wayward Knight. I originally ran into this from a CD by Danu, and in that one it was called The Wayward Knight. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, there's something of a story here, but it just wasn't quite connecting. And you see this in the ballad tradition a lot. Things get fragmented because it was strictly held in memory, and the tradition got very fragmented during the Industrial Revolution and that type of thing. So I went to the child ballad book and found 140 odd different versions of Lady Isabel and the False Knight. And it's really, it's about like trying to find who's cousins in a crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, this one, is that related? No, that's way in left field. And finally I found about 5 different versions. And I went through piece by piece and started to re-put this story back together and wordsmith a little here, and well, there's half a verse missing there. And so that's where my work as a creative writer comes in, to sort of piece this thing back together. And it was also during my time of studying the cultural history of the corset, because
the cultural history of the you're corset, talking about the undergarment, the garment, with yes. the whale bones mm-hmm, and stays,
which
and,
really started during the very early Renaissance. So we're talking in England, Henry VII, Henry VIII, in that time period. And at that time, it was called stays. And in this particular ballad, there is a point where the knight who is abducting her and is going to murder her tells her to take off various pieces of her garment because he wants to resell them. And he tells her to take off her stays. And at that point, the story turns and she chucks him into the water because now she can breathe. She's not wearing a corset.
Aha. Sounds rather empowering. I like that.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting story. Lady Isabel and the False Knight. We're going to do that for you here. The version right. that I crafted together. And then, of course, these ballads, they get very, very long. So then we started to break it up with these various musical interludes to help help show where the time breaks were in the story. And really, really storytelling through music is really what we were doing.
Right, and hopefully I will play the right interludes at the right time.
Let's
see.
Well, let's hear the story of Lady Isabel and the False Knight.
Followed her up and he's followed her down and into the room where she lay. She hadn't the strength but to flee from his arms, the tongue for to answer him nay. Rise up, my pretty fair maid, rise up and go with me. And I will take you to North Scotland and there you'll marry me. Go fetch ye a bag of your father's gold, some of your mother's fee, and 2 fine horses out of the stable where they stand 30 and 3. And she slid upon the nimble going brownies, mounted the dapple gray. And when they came to North Scotland, it was just 3 hours till day. La-da-da-da. Light you down, my pretty fair maid, light you down, I say to thee. For 6 king's daughters have I drowned here, the 7th will surely be thee. Pull off your rich silk gown, deliver it unto me. For it is too fine and it costs too much to rot in the salty sea. Pull off your holland smock, deliver it unto me. For it is too fine and it costs too much to rot in the salty sea. And pull off your silken stays, deliver them unto me. For they are too fine and they cost too much to rot in the salty sea. If I must pull off my holland smock, return thy back to me. For it isn't fitting for such a cool rogue, a naked lady to see. He's turned his back unto her then, and turned his face to a tree. And she's picked him up by the waist so small, and thrown him into the sea. Lie there, ye false young knight, lie there in place of me. For 6 king's daughters have you drowned here, the 7th had drowned thee. And she's lit upon the nimble going brown, and she's left the dapple gray. And when she came to her father's hall, it was just 3 hours till day. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- high, hearing her lady did say, I'm afraid that the false man has led you astray, that you tarried so long away. Hush now, my pretty Polly bird, don't you tell tales on me. Your cage, it will be made of the very beaten gold, the door of the best ivory. But then up he spoke, her father the king, in the chamber where he lay. What's the matter with the pretty Polly bird? She's talking so long before day. Well, there's two black cats at my cage and door, and my life they would betray. And I'm just calling for my pretty fair maid to drive those cats away. Well turn, my pretty Polly bird, well turn, why there was for me. A cage it would be made of the very beaten gold, door of the best ivory. Down and into the room where she lay. She hadn't the strength but to flee from his arms, tongue for to answer him, nay.
Quite a story. Lady Isabel and the False Knight. Tom Drawn playing the guitar and Laura Berlage singing and also giving more focus, I guess, to that story with your wordsmithing and arranging.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's lovely. Just lovely. It's so nice to hear that these songs that have been passed down through generation and generation and century still alive and thriving and healthy, and having a young artist like yourself just kind of out of school and bringing more life to these songs.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the ballad tradition isn't totally dead. In fact, you know, I sing Songs of the Voyageurs with a group of guys that I've been with for many, many years. And not too long ago, we were singing in Mendota, Minnesota at a festival, and there happened to be some people there from Northern Ontario, you know, French-speaking families from Northern Ontario. They were there for a horse show of some kind. And after we were done with our little set, one person came up to me and said, that particular song that you sang, could I get the verses from you? Because my family sings that, but we only know one verse.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Right.
This was from the late 14, early 1500s, this song. Yeah,
wow.
It was pretty cool. So it's kind of neat to run into that.
Yeah.
And then we come at it from an oral tradition in a way, because we're hearing it recorded by other people as well. It's very rare to find somebody who's a source singer or player anymore. So, but, you know, we're reviving the tradition and revitalizing it by, you know, kind of researching and trying to figure out exactly what the songs really are all about.
Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. the stories are. Well, so many of the, I think, 60s artists, you know, Joan Baez and Bob Dylan even, looked back and recorded a number of these kinds of songs.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, because they're really powerful pieces.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, we're telling the same stories over and over. The same themes crop up.
Mm-hmm. It's part of being human.
Yeah, right.
It is.
Yeah.
Getting back to your idea about these traditions being passed on orally, I'm really into the whole idea of oral tradition. It's a big part of my portfolio work, and I just wanted to pull one more quote that I just discovered this semester in a book called The Singer and the Scribe, which looks at the relationship between the oral ballad tradition and the process of them getting written down and, mm-hmm. and saved that way. And this is a piece by Roger Wright, who actually was studying the Spanish ballad tradition, but a lot of his findings really cross over into the English and the Scottish and the Irish ballad traditions. And this one really sort of blew my mind when I ran into this piece. He says, most of the stories concern, at least partly, and this really also relates to Lady Isabel that we just played, The Adventures of Young Women. The women in the ballads are almost all more warm, more human, more intelligent, more caring, more enterprising, and generally more interesting than the men. Half the listeners may well assume that this is only to be expected because, after all, women are more warm, caring, intelligent, etc. But this feature may also be both cause and effect of the fact that nowadays, at least, it tends to be women rather than men who sing them. Perhaps this has always been predominantly a female genre. And when you look back at the records of Child, and Frances James Sharp is Mrs. So-and-so, who learned it from her aunt, mm-hmm. who learned it from her grandmother, and bringing that lens to my ballad work has been really very exciting, because it's breaking the mold of the old, well, the ballad tradition was single medieval minstrel males who went from castle mm-hmm. to court.
Troubadours and, who roamed around, yeah.
Right. Well, the troubadour tradition is its own tradition, mm. and there were definitely women, and they were called the trobarites in the tradition. And actually, one of the songs in my first CD, Legends of the Troubadours, I have a chanson in there, which is a love argument between a troubadour and a trobarites.
For heaven's sake.
That I dug up. And I worked with a linguist here at UW-Madison to learn how to pronounce it, and worked out a translation and wrote a new tune for it, because the tune doesn't exist anymore.
She made me sing Old Occitan.
So that was a very fun piece. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of digging. It takes a lot of digging, and then a lot of pumping life back into it. When we were recording Lady Isabel and the False Knight, I said, Tom, we've got to put a lot of drive in this song, because it's really a song about a serial killer, and that still happens. Women still get stolen away, and mm-hmm. Lady Isabel had the guts to do him in.
Yes, when she got her corset off.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she could breathe.
But then you look at the laws of the time, and she has to sneak home and hush it up, because she could get accused for murdering him. She has no witness, you know, to what happened, anyone to shore up her story, so very interesting.
Yes, doesn't even want the bird to say a word. Yeah.
That's right. How to bribe a parrot.
Well, congratulations, Laura, on you're just about to finish your MFA.
In interdisciplinary arts.
Yeah, and you're bringing so much of that to your work. It sounds like it's been a wonderful kind of synthesis of your performing life and your scholarly life.
Yeah.
What would you like to do next to finish up?
Well, I wanted to play one of the last pieces on the new CD, which is The Water is Wide. And I did a little research into this, and the first recorded, still surviving lyrics written down are from 1602.
No kidding.
So it's obviously a lot older than that in the oral form, but the first documentation we have of this song is from 1602.
Wow, and still such a popular song.
Yes, and still very true. So,
Laura
getting back
Melange,
to that basic grit.
Here's The Water is Wide.
The water is wide, cannot cross o'er. Neither have I wings to fly. Give me a boat that can carry two, both shall row, my love and I. There is a ship sails the sea. It is loaded deep as deep can be, not so deep as the love I'm in. I know not if I sink or swim. Again.
as my love road falls to me.
Laura Berlage and Tom Drawn with The Water Is Wide. And that is the last selection on your CD. It's a lovely CD, and it's called Bardic Memories. And it was created, produced by Tom. You have a record label. You specialize in musicians in northern Wisconsin. And
yeah, we have some amazingly creative, talented people up where I live, and Laura happens to be one of them, and it's just been a real pleasure working with us. It's our second project together, actually, and it just keeps getting better. So
you do. In fact, our theme song was written by Bruce Burnside and performed by Bruce, and
right.
I know
Hi,
that
Bruce.
You were just working with him. Yep.
Yeah, just there Friday.
And you mentioned that you work with Sons of Voyagers, but you also have a new group called Take Three.
That's right.
What's that all about?
Yeah, we've actually been getting together for a little over 4 years now. And, well, Lisa McGinley, who is one of the trio, it's a trio, Take Three, obviously. And Lisa and I have done a lot of music over the years. She was in a band with me and Tom Blaine of Wisconsin Public Radio Notoriety called Wild Oats back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then that band morphed into different ones and became one called Second Wind. Lisa was also a member of Second Wind. I left. I went down to the North Carolina mountains. I was there for a while and came back and ended up in a band with Lisa again and Bruce Bowers, the violinist for Chautauqua, and a bagpipe player from the Twin Cities named Dick Hensold, and that was called Way Up North. Then life just got crazy for everybody, and when I got a chance to ask Lisa to do some music again, and she said yes, I thought, I really want to do singing just as much as instrumental stuff. And my friend Kevin McMullen is a fine fiddle player and also sings. And so I tried to put this together, and that's the whole idea, is that we all love to play, but we also love to sing harmonies as well. And so there's a lot of that on there.
So Take Three is just in the process of issuing its first CD, self-titled, right? Take Three?
Yes, and we're bandying back and forth whether it should just be self-titled Take Three or if it's going to be The Fox, which is the last cut on there. It'll be one or the other, and it should be released hopefully the end of June here. And so, in fact, if anybody does want to come and see us, we have a gig coming up on June 30th, which is a Thursday, at 4:30 in the afternoon. This is in Manitowish Waters area at North Lakeland Discovery Center, and they're having a big event called Wine in the Woods. So if you like wine and you like birds and you like good music and you like being in the woods, come on up there.
Sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll hear a sneak preview of the very first selection from that CD, but first I want to say thank you to both of you very much for taking the time to come down to Madison from your places in Hayward and Ashland and up in that direction. It was a long drive, and we are very grateful to have shared your talents with the Simply Folk listeners.
Well, thank you
so much for hosting us.
Yes, my pleasure. Yeah.
Well, the interview will be up on the archives of Simply Folk by about noontime tomorrow. It'll be there for about 2 weeks. So if you want to share it with somebody or hear the music again, you can just go to simplyfolk.org. We'll say goodbye to Tom and Laura and listen to this first song from the Take 3 CD. It's called Whittingham Fair.
Are you going to Whittingham Fair? Savory sage, sweet William and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there, for once he was a true lover of mine. Ask him to make me a cambric shirt. Savory sage, sweet William and thyme. Without any needle or needlework, then he'll be a true lover of mine. Tell him to wash it in yonder well. Savory sage, sweet William and thyme. Where neither springs water nor rain ever fell, then he'll be a true lover. Oh, tell him to come and I'll give him his shirt. Then he'll be a true lover of mine.